Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers win another one, sweeping the Padres for their 103rd win of the season, but they don't gain any ground on the Giants, who won in a walk-off against the Arizona crappy team. We'll talk about this Dodger game, the potential postseason roster, and a lot more. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I'm Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so he'll be with you for the second half of this show. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. So like I said at the beginning, we're going to talk about this Dodgers win, a pretty solid win. I think it was 8-3 was the final score. 8-3. And good game. Corey Seager hit two home runs. Dodgers hit five home runs total, back-to-back homers twice. Just a good, solid team win. It got a little dicey at one point. Tony Gonsolin didn't quite make it through five innings. He gave up a historic home run to Fernando Tatis Jr., hit it out of the stadium, only the fifth player ever to do that, joining Willie Stargell, Mike Piazza, Mark McGwire, and Giancarlo Stanton. So pretty good company for him there. Willie Stargell did it twice. But like most Padres highlights these days, it's a Tatis highlight and a loss in the game. And you know what? It's a trade-off we'll take, I guess. That made it 4-3 at that point in time. Gonsolin came out of the game, and the Padres didn't score again, and the Dodgers tacked on four more runs. So all in all, they hit the long ball. They played a little bit of not quite small ball. I guess they had a sac fly. They had a couple RBI hits. So a good, solid team win. Great relief pitching, which is going to come up later in the discussion. We're going to talk a little bit about postseason rosters, potential, what that might look like. And, you know, A.J. Pollock hit another home run. He's been great this year. There's so much good going on with the Dodgers right now. It's their 103rd win of the season, and yet it's not going to be enough. Right now, for the Dodgers to have a chance to even play in a tiebreaker on Monday, the Dodgers would need to sweep the Brewers, and the Padres would need to win two of three from the Giants. I don't expect the Dodgers to sweep the Brewers. Not out of the question, but I don't expect it. I'd be shocked if the Padres can win two of three from the Giants. It just doesn't seem likely, you know, because the Giants are good and the Padres aren't. That's basically what it boils down to. The Padres, I don't know how the Padres players feel. I know Padres fans want the Padres to just roll over. I assume the players, I think Major League Baseball players are competitive enough. They would enjoy playing spoiler for whichever team they can spoil. So I think the Padres would really enjoy beating the Giants and knocking them out of first place. I just don't think they're a good enough baseball team to do it. And unfortunately, most of the time, baseball games are decided by which team is better at playing baseball. Not all the time, but most of the time. And in a three-game series, it's hard to see the Padres winning too. So I've kind of resigned myself. I'm not giving up yet. I'm not going to give up until it's mathematically impossible. And hopefully that won't be until, you know, if the Dodgers keep winning, if the Padres can pull one off tomorrow, you know, or today, I guess, when you're listening to this, get them within one. But it's just, I don't know. So I'm starting to look at my calendar for next week and see, maybe I'm going to drive down for the wild card game, see what's going on. But it doesn't take away from the fact that this team is awesome. This team, the Dodgers in their last 60 games are a game better than they were last year. I just saw that on Twitter. Last year, they went 43-17 in the 60-game season. They're 44-16 in their last 60 games. They've been better these last 2 months than they were in their historically good season last year. The problem is the Giants have only been a couple games worse during that time. And, you know, some of those losses came to the Giants, which obviously there's so many things we can what if about this season. I've harped on that a lot the last week or so. No team is perfect. And so if we play the what if game, it's going to be frustrating because there are a lot of what ifs. You know, what if Sheldon Noisy didn't have Tyrannosaurus Rex arms? What if Ed Hickox could see? All those things. If either of those things are true, the Dodgers win that one game. What if Mike Tauchman, you know, didn't quite catch that home run? There's so many what ifs, but I'm going to choose not to dwell on those because this Dodgers team has a chance to win 104 to 106 games which would be right up there with the best Dodger teams in history. That's what this team is. And that means that whoever they play in the postseason, if they play in a wild card game on Wednesday, I like their chances because guess what? The Dodgers are a better team than the Cardinals. Guess what? Max Scherzer is a better pitcher than Adam Wainwright. Dodgers offense is better than Cardinals offense. And so, you know, yeah, anything can happen in one game. It sucks to come down to one game because that's the nature of baseball. The best teams in baseball lose 50 or 60 games a year. And if one of those games happens to come in a one-game play-in game, your season's over. It sucks that it comes down to that. But if that's what they have to do, that's what they have to do. You can kind of expect the Dodgers are going to show up ready to play in that game. They're going to give it their all. Max Scherzer, he's going to be fine. And Adam Wainwright has had a solid season for an old man, but he's not the Adam Wainwright of old. He's not anything to be super afraid of. So the Dodgers are going to win that game. If they play in the wild card game, they're going to win it. And then they'll be in the division series. The only difference would be they'll play 3 of the 5 games in San Francisco instead of 3 of the 5 in LA. Hopefully it won't even go 5. Hopefully the Dodgers sweep the Giants. And because I still believe, I know it upsets people. Sorry, Kevin. I think the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants. And I think when they play each other in NLDS, it's going to come through. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And this is why September, October baseball is awesome and awful at the same time. It's fun being a baseball fan. It's been fun being a Dodger fan this year. And hopefully it's going to keep being fun being a Dodger fan for the next 5 weeks or so. But only time will tell. And, you know, whatever happens, I'm going to be a Dodger fan again when spring rolls around. I'm going to be a Dodger fan all off season. I'm going to keep doing this show for you guys all off season because we love talking about the Dodgers. And so that's the plan. And, you know, this game was just, it was just a almost boring business-like game, you know, other than getting a little bit dicey in the top of the fifth. It was just one of those games like, okay, we're just going to go out there and score more runs than them. We're going to win the game. You know, the Dodgers basically locked up having the most runs scored in the National League and the fewest runs allowed in the National League for the fourth or fifth straight year. The Giants were getting close on the runs scored. The last couple of days, the Dodgers were only up by like 4 runs or something. But then in the last 2 days, the Dodgers have scored 19 runs. And the Giants have only scored 5. And so, you know, the Dodgers wrap that up. I guess if that matters to you, I know it probably doesn't, but that's all right. So yeah, I'm going to come back in just a minute. I'm going to talk about the postseason roster, what it's shaping up to be, my guesses for what they might do, my thoughts on what they should do, all that. Thank you so much for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. I'm looking forward to talking about that postseason roster stuff with you, so keep it locked on Dodgers. Did you know that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world? Well, guess what? My son found out today because my son, we've been trying to get him to try. He's 10 years old and, you know, 10-year-olds know what they like. And we kept saying, Ryan, try these Built Bars. They're good. He's like, I don't like dark chocolate, but these are really good. I don't like dark chocolate. You know how kids are. Well, I ordered 3 boxes of the cookie dough chunk before they took them away from us last week because I felt like I needed 54 cookie dough chunk Built Bars. And so they came the other day. And I had one today, and my wife had 2 today, and my other son had 1 today. And I said, Ryan, just try this cookie dough chunk. There's chunks of cookie dough in it. And I said, I don't like dark chocolate. I said, no, but you're not going to notice the dark chocolate because there's cookie dough. And he tried it. And by the time he was done, he had chocolate all over his face like kids do. He said, Dad, that was the best thing I've ever had. So if my picky 10-year-old can like a Built Bar that has dark chocolate instead of unhealthy chocolate, and it's got, you know, it's healthy for you, it's low calorie, it's high protein, it's low carb, low sugar, all that stuff, all the lows and highs that you want, that's what Built Bar is. And it's got the 10-year-old Ryan Snyder stamp of approval. His middle name is Koufax. Trust him. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, I'm back, and let's talk about the postseason roster. You know, it's about time to get there. Right now, the Dodgers have a 28-man roster because this year, I mean, it was supposed to be last year, but everything got messed up because of COVID. But this year, the roster rules changed, and there are only 28 men on the roster for September instead of up to 40 like it used to be. So there's 28 guys on the roster right now, 15 pitchers and 13 position players. In my mind, it's going to be at most 13 pitchers on the postseason roster. I wouldn't be shocked if they go with 14 position players and 12 pitchers. I think it's not likely, if for no other reason, that there's no real position player beating down the door. Because you look at the options and it's Zach McKinstry, Billy McKinney, Sheldon Noisy, Luke Rayleigh, Zach Rex. That's basically the options on the 40-man roster. None of those guys scream, we need him on our postseason roster. If anybody, I could see them going with McKinstry just because of his defensive flexibility. He's got decent speed, so he's a guy you could bring in. Because, you know, with Albert Pujols, if you bring Pujols as a pinch hitter and he gets on base, you don't want him running the bases. So I could see them wanting to have a guy like McKinstry available just to pinch run, who can then play whatever position he needs to, you know, that sort of thing. But outside of that, I'm kind of going to go into this conversation on the assumption that it's going to be 13 position players and 13 pitchers on the postseason roster, because the postseason roster is 26. So I'm going to go with 13 and 13, which means basically all 13 position players on the roster right now, I think, are on the postseason roster, which is Barnes and Smith at catcher, Lux, Muncy, Pujols, Seager, Turner, Beatty, Bellinger, Betts, Pollock, and Taylor. I mean, that seems like, you know, there's nobody in the minor leagues who you'd want to replace any of those guys with. And I don't see them going with 14 pitchers, especially, you know, it's going to be hard to figure out which pitchers to cut, which we'll talk about in a sec. But I'm thinking 13 position players. So I think we've got the position player side basically sorted. And then you get to the pitchers. And it's kind of funny. If you sort the Dodgers, there's 15 pitchers on the roster right now. And if you sort them by ERA, Clayton Kershaw has the fourth worst ERA on the team right now. His ERA is 3.38. Like, he's been very good this year. The only pitcher on the roster right now with an ERA over 4 is Bruce Dar-Gratterall. You know, the three guys worse than Kershaw right now are Bruce Dar-Gratterall at 4.13. Evan Phillips, after his performance tonight, is down to 3.65. And then David Price at 3.84. And then you got Kershaw. So only three guys with a worse ERA than Kershaw. You know, you got Justin Brewer, who's at 3.12, who, you know, if you start from the other end, that you've got the locks, you know, Max Scherzer, Blake Treinen, Kenley Jansen, Alex Vesia, Walker Buehler, Phil Bickford, Corey Knebel, Joe Kelly, Tony Gonsolin, Julio Urias. Those guys are basically locks for the postseason roster. So then, and then Kershaw's a lock, of course. So basically, you've got four guys for two spots: Justin Brewer, David Price, Bruce Dar-Gratterall, and Evan Phillips. And of those four guys, I think you could make a case for leaving any of those guys off the roster. Evan Phillips seems to only do mop-up duty. And so it seems like maybe he's kind of, I don't know, I don't think out of favor is the right way to put it. I don't think they think that much of Evan Phillips. And I kind of feel the same way. You could say the same thing about Justin Brewer and David Price. Both of them, they come in interesting situations, never really high leverage. But the thing is, it would be nice if you had enough pitchers on your roster to just have high leverage guys and say, okay, we'll have to use some of these guys in lower leverage, but, you know, we've got guys with high leverage potential everywhere. And that's not quite what they have. And so, you know, Bruce Dar-Gratterall, he was a high leverage guy last year for them. He pitched really well for them last year. He's had some struggles this year. So it's like, do you leave Gratterall off? Do you, and it seems to me like the most likely thing is, this is all assuming they make a lengthy postseason run, is that they're going to bounce some of these guys around. I think, you know, I could see them even saying, okay, you know what, for one series, Tony Gonsolin, we're going to leave you off. Maybe not Gonsolin, because, you know, if they want to go with a piggyback start, Gonsolin's a guy you could bring in long relief. If there's an injury or something, you know, you kind of got to be ready for that. If, you know, you would hope that, you know, Kershaw doesn't have something happen to him or something, but you might want a guy like Gonsolin who you could trust to throw a lot of innings, go long relief and be effective. I don't think you want to be stuck with David Price in that situation. So, you know, it's hard to see them leaving any of those guys off except those four. And so it seems like they're probably going to, you know, bounce them back and forth. Okay, and the NLDS will go with, you know, they'll look at matchups. Okay, who are we playing? We're playing the Giants. Well, maybe one extra lefty because Lamont Wade doesn't hit lefties as well. And so we go with Brewer on the roster, Brewer and Price maybe, and leave Phillips and Gratterall off, you know, and then go different matchups. I don't know. But it seems to me, and I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts if you think I'm wrong about this, but it seems like these questions all come down to those four guys, Justin Brule, David Price, Bruce Argaderal, and Evan Phillips. Two roster spots for those four guys. Possibly one roster spot if they did decide to add McKinstry to the roster, but probably two roster spots for those four. I'd love to hear what you guys think, who you think should get those two spots out of those four guys. If you think I'm totally off base on this analysis, I'd love to hear that too. But yeah, it's a weird situation, but the nice thing is, like I said, you've got so many good pitchers, like these relief pitchers. This is the bullpen that I'm reading off: Blake Treinen, Kenley Jansen, Alex Vesia, Phil Bickford, Corey Knebel, Joseph Kelly, Tony Gonsolin, and then two of those other guys. I mean, that is a bullpen. When you realize that your starters are Scherzer and Buehler and Julio and Kershaw, who you kind of hope are all going to give you some good innings. Yeah, that's a pretty remarkable bullpen. So these last two roster spots might not matter much at all. And if they do, you know, there's bigger problems maybe. But that's kind of my thoughts on the roster. So I would love to hear what you guys think. And with that, I think I'm going to be about done talking to you for today. Vince, like I said, is going to be along in a minute because he was at the game tonight. So he'll have his stuff to talk about, his in-game report. It was a packed crowd on a Thursday night because they were giving out more World Series replica rings. Great to see 52,000 people at the stadium. Look, the Dodgers put 52,550 in the stadium on a Thursday night, a school night, against a bad team. Never talk to me about Dodger Stadium attendance ever again. You know, and people say, well, it was just because of the giveaway. Okay, guess what? The Dodgers know how to put fans in the seats on a Thursday night against a bad team is not a criticism. Neither is Dodger fans show up 52,000 strong on a Thursday night against a bad team to celebrate the team's World Series victory. All of this stuff says good things about the Dodgers and good things about their fans. It was awesome to see the stadium packed. I'm glad that those fans were rewarded with a good, solid win. So Vince will have that report for you. And with that, I'm going to be done for the day. Vince will be along in a minute. So thanks for being Locked On Dodgers with me, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Vince Samperio, Chavez Ring Beans here to finish out today's episode. Like Jeff said, I was at the game last night, and it was fun. It was, it will be my last regular season game, and I'll be there at the wildcard game, assuming that's what happens. So that'll be the next time I'm at Dodger Stadium. But for me, concludes another season of going to Dodger games after having a season in which I didn't get to go to any Dodger games, and it remains a good time. It was an interesting last series because when I bought tickets for the Tuesday game, the Julio bobblehead back in April, I thought, it's a Julio bobblehead, but it's also against the Padres, who is a team they could potentially be in a race for the division with, and it didn't end up working out that way. The Dodgers are in a race for the division, but not against the Padres. And even with that, the Julio bobblehead was one of the more in-demand bobbleheads I've ever seen. Tickets, even leading up to the day of game, you couldn't get in under $100, which was kind of unheard of for a bobblehead game. So shout out to the majority Mexican-American or Mexican community, because that bobblehead was pretty dope. And then the ring giveaway was a last-minute add to the promotional giveaways. And once again, another packed house, 52,000 on hand on a Thursday night in September to face a Padre team that no longer factors into the postseason race. They were only and you may say, well, yeah, it was a giveaway. Of course, there was 52,000. Yeah, the giveaway is only 30,000, though. So even there was 20,000 people that probably didn't get what they wanted to go for. But the Dodgers won, and that was great. And, you know, I just wanted to say it was another fun season at Dodger Stadium. Regular season comes to an end this weekend. For those of you that are still going, there's still time for you to enjoy Dodger Stadium. But for me, my time for regular season over. Hopefully I get to go to a lot of playoff games here in the next month. And that's kind of what I'm really hoping for, because I don't want to stop going to Dodger Stadium, or at least I don't want to stop going to Dodger Stadium to watch Dodger games. But going to come back, going to talk a little bit about the offense and what's getting me a little bit excited about this last week heading into October. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers, and thanks for making us your first listen of the morning. Bet Online, we're back. We're better than ever. Well, they're back. They're better than ever. And all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. And BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website on your laptop or mobile device right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't look at what that says. The promo code's locked on. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From football, basketball, baseball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline's the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey, Dodger fans. This is Vince from Locked On Dodgers with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, and it's called Get Upside. Get Upside can make you money for putting in gas. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up, which makes that up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Download the app for free and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon, whatever you want, whatever they have. Check it out. Download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That Get Upside app with the promo code BASEBALL. All right, I am back and here to talk about the offense a little bit. We've talked about the offense a lot. I know Jeff talked about people that could be on the postseason roster, but if you have been listeners of the show for a while, you know that Jeff's a little more positive when it comes to October baseball than I am. I usually like to assume the worst and have dread, doom, and gloom, not projected outward, but, you know, like I said, I've always said if the Dodgers scored 10 runs a game every single game of the season, went 162-0, I wouldn't be any more confident going into October or a postseason series than I would if how the season's gone so far, or if the season was even a little worse. So with that being said, the Dodgers are getting me a little excited about postseason, are making me not be as dreadful thinking about this one-game playoff that they're probably going to play against the Cardinals and Adam Wainwright, because the offense is starting to look right. And when the offense is looking right, the Dodgers are very hard to stop because their pitching has been right pretty much the entire year up until like these last few weeks. So the one I'm most excited about is Corey Seager. Corey Seager was hurt, and since he's come back, he's been really good. He's been good since he's been back. But what's really changed here in the last few weeks is the power numbers. The power numbers have really started to surge. He had two home runs last night, had the big home run in Wednesday's victory. And it's exciting because Corey Seager, as we saw last year, can carry a team, can help carry a team to a World Series title, NLCS MVP, World Series MVP, hitting all the home runs, driving in all the runs during the postseason. And it's something that the Dodgers hadn't really had, or hadn't really, you know, not since Manny Ramirez or Hanley Ramirez before he got his ribs broken, where someone kind of not single-handedly put the team on their back, but for the most part, single-handedly put the team on their back. Corey Seager was a big part of that offense last year en route to the World Series win. So that's the part that's got me the most excited. The power numbers are back for him. He's hitting bombs. He's hitting hard contact that's going over the wall. And that gets me excited because, you know, if he was hitting well, hitting whatever, 350 or whatever the case was, but a bunch of singles and doubles, it's not as enticing because singles and doubles don't guarantee you're going to score. He'd have to have somebody on base ahead of him, or he'd have to have somebody knock him in after. But when you're hitting home runs, that's automatic point on the board, even if there's nobody on base. So that's exciting. The fact that the Dodgers are hitting all these home runs is exciting. But Corey Seager specifically, because that means his swing is right. His swing is going right now. And when he's one of those guys, when he's in the zone, he's in the zone. And we just need that zone to extend here the next month or so, but specifically here the next week or so, more specifically Wednesday against Adam Wainwright. The other part is AJ Pollock, been on fire as well. And he's a guy that's kind of carried the Dodgers offense for – not carried, but he's been the most consistent hitter in the Dodgers lineup in the entire year. And for him to come back off injury and continue to keep that going – makes me excited, because this is the first time where I think he might actually hit in the postseason and he might actually contribute, where he hasn't really done that the last 2 years. This year he's seemingly learned to lay off speed, or specifically sliders, in the dirt in a way. And if he can do that, that's a big help. The other part is, you know, Cody Bellinger, whether you want to believe it or not, what he's done the last two nights is a lot better than what he's done the other nights, which is hit the game tying home run on Wednesday, hit an RBI single on Thursday, and just, you know, he still struck out on Thursday, but he looked a lot better at the plate. He looks more comfortable at the plate. Whatever it is, the haircut or the little mental break he had from being on the injured list after being, you know, after struggling, you kind of take a break, take a seat, maybe work on some things. You know, maybe that helped out. So it's hard to kind of differentiate whether this is just a bad Padres team that's kind of given up on the season and the Dodgers offense pounced on it, or if it's legitimately the Dodgers offense running into shape. Because the other one that's looked decent the last few days is Justin Turner, getting some base hits, had a home run, his 150th home run of his career. And he's a guy that we talked about last week, earlier this week, that he's been struggling since August and more most of the second half of the season. And he starting to look a little bit better now. He's already been dropped in the lineup. Maybe he settles in a little bit more there. Mookie Betts having two home runs the last two nights. That, you know, it if you want to feel good about heading into a postseason series, then these last two games have definitely made you feel that way. Now they're going to play the Brewers this weekend, who are going to throw all their best pitchers at the Dodgers. Well, they'll throw at least one of their best pitchers at the Dodgers. They're down their best, one of their best relievers in Devin Williams, because he punched a wall and got mad. But they'll still have Josh Hader, who will remains to be seen how much he's going to throw. But, you know, this weekend, there's two teams realistically not playing for anything. The Dodgers are playing for the NLS title, but they need 5 of 6 outcomes to go their way in order for them to force a one-game playoff. They need 6 of 6 outcomes to go their way in order to win the division outright. So, yes, the Dodgers are playing for the NLS title, but realistically, they have a playoff spot locked down. The Brewers are stuck. They are the 2 seed in the National League. They can't change anything. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how these two teams play, especially – knowing that they might play each other in the NLCS. And, you know, do the Brewers really want the Dodgers to see their best pitchers here in the last weekend, so close to a potential rematch here in the next couple weeks if they both advance past the NLDS? You know, the Dodgers, I don't think that matters for them. They're throwing their guys who are going to throw, and it's just going to be an interesting thing to see. And on the other side, with hoping that the Padres can beat the Giants, you're thinking hopefully the Padres care about being 500 and that's what they're going to play for, or hopefully they, you know, the Giants are what the Padres wanted to be this year. So does that light a fuel under their bellies and make them say, you know what, we're going to go out and sweep them, we're going to let people know that we're going to come back next year stronger and we will be what the Giants were this year? I don't know. But either way, I'm feeling a little bit better about the offense. It had been a little bit struggles there, but some guys are starting to heat up. Some guys are looking better, and it's looked a lot better here the last few days than it had been the few weeks prior to that. So, like I said, Adam Wainwright could still come in and throw 8 shutout innings in the Dodgers. It will be off or not, but I'm feeling a lot better now, and if I'm feeling a lot better, you should feel a lot better, because I'm one of the more pessimistic Dodger fans when it comes to realistic expectations of the postseason. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for making us your first listen. We really appreciate it. We reminder that we are free and available on wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. I want to thank you one last time for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. For your second listen of the day, stick with the Locked On Network and check out Locked On Bets. Hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. They do daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube, Locked On Dodgers, or Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. You can get a hold of us on Twitter personally. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vincent Perio. You can always leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-LOCK, or you can send us an email, lockdowndodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take my device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.